Welcome. Thank you for joining us here at ICGC Kairos Temple Podcast. Pastor Prince Nyako is the head pastor of ICGC Kairos Temple, serving under the leadership of Dr. Mensah Otabo. Pastor Prince is a dynamic preacher of God's unadulterated word, characterized with a strong prophetic insight and prayer ministry. He is a strong advocate for discipline and order in the body of Christ, with messages centered on fasting, holiness, prayer, and integrity. And now, to today's message.
Oh, tell the next person, I am glad you are still alive. And tell yourself, I'm glad I'm alive. Because where there is life, there is hope. Amen. Tell yourself, because where there is life, there is hope. Amen. Give the Lord another good clap offering. Please close your eyes and lift your right hand and speak in the language of the Spirit. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you to understand what I'm about to share. Maradike zege de bekaba, maroshe da bahaya, leba gato shada la bahaya. Lord, speak to us, Lord. Lebra kataba, ikaba rosha taka bahayas, lebrando shadi vara da baha, radelelele boshada baha, reba kashata baha. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, your name be praised, Emmanuel, let your word transform us. Let us live here informed, fired up to reach out to the lost. In Jesus' name, amen. So I'm teaching on the subject. It's quite a long title, but write it down. What topics to teach or to touch on when witnessing to a soul? What are the topics you should touch on? Or what can you talk about when you go out to win a soul? A lot of people don't go out to win souls because they don't know what to say. And actually, if you don't know what to say, you will not know what to say. So I'm going to help you to know what to say. If you go out and say you are going to win a soul, what am I going to say? You see, these are teachings. It's just like marriage. We spend less time to talk about marriage, but marriage is a long time process. If we spend more time teaching about marriage, marriage will be better. But our marriage counseling sessions are 3 months. Maybe your marriage is going to last for 50 years, but you use 3 months for counseling. And then you start the marriage on a very bad note. And sometimes it takes years. Because when foundations are not correct, the buildings will collapse. That is why many marriages are suffering. A lot of people don't know anything about marriage. All they know is that according to the years of time, it is time for me to marry. But you and I know that that's not how it is. Amen. You can marry a very elderly person, but the person cannot think to build a marriage. And you can marry a younger person, and the person understand the dynamics of marriage. Amen. The same way, if we don't talk about evangelism and how to win a soul, a lot of us will know that soul winning is good, but will not know how to reach out to the lost. That's why the whole month I'm spending enough time to teach you, not just for 21 days of reach, but it must be part of you. That when you are talking to an unbeliever, what are you going to say? In the second service too, I'm going to continue in another way. What is the gospel? I'm going to talk about the various aspects of the gospel. But yours too is also very important. Now, as a sent man, you must know what to say. What message are you carrying? Every sent person has a message. Every messenger has a message. What is the message of the soul winner? And your message must be relevant to the soul you are witnessing to. Your message, the soul must identify with what you are saying. The soul must identify with what you are saying. Not just him hearing, but he should be able to identify that, this thing, we need God. We don't want God. So the message must be relevant, must be timely, must be people-focused. How is your Jesus going to benefit me? That is the message that you should carry to the soul. How is your message about Jesus? This is your Jesus you are bringing to me. What do I expect from him? What new thing is he bringing to my life? That should be what you should be thinking about if you are going to witness to someone. So if you meet a drunkard, what do you think that Jesus wants to do for the drunkard? If you meet somebody who is frustrated in life, what will be Jesus' intervention in his life? If you meet anybody, there should be something you should say, which should be relevant. Now, Romans chapter 10, verse 14 to 15. Romans chapter 10, verse 14 to 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in whom of whom or in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? So look at the process. How would they believe if they've not heard? And how would they hear if there is no preacher? Are you here with me? So this scripture is actually a rhetorical scripture. You have to now turn the scripture and start from the end to the beginning. Because if you have not put rice on fire, how do you expect jollof? So that's what the scripture is saying. Go back to the verse 14. Let me read it again. Look at the scripture well. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? So the next line is going to, how would they believe if they've not heard? And the next line is, how would they hear if there's no preacher? The next one. And how shall they preach except they be sent? That is why I'm sending you on evangelism. That's why God is sending us to go and win souls, to go and share the message, to go and do what we are called to do. Every Christian is supposed to win a soul and reach out to the lost. Yes, it's not always that God is going to tell you, I'm going to bless you, I'm going to give you a prophecy, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. The core of the believer is to win a soul, is to reach out. The reason the church universal is not biting is that essentials of the kingdom, like soul winning, has been pushed aside. We have pushed it aside and we are not concentrating on personal soul winning. Everybody wants to do a big crusade, have a lot of pictures there, a lot of people there, and take a picture and celebrate on Facebook. Meanwhile, the individual Christians, we are not reaching out. When last did you win a soul? Be honest. It doesn't add up to you. You are thinking about your masters. You are thinking about your thesis. You are thinking about the 21 boys that have broken your heart. What is the 22nd person bringing on board? You are thinking about how to buy the next four-wheel drive. You are thinking about how to start that business. You are thinking about the estate company. Those are the things that are crucial to us. But the question is, who is in the kingdom that is in the kingdom because of us? We have made our personal issues like the first and last. But these things are what will draw God to you and draw you close to God. Now, let me continue. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings. What is said is what will be received. What you go and say to the soul is what will be received. And what is received will be the basis on the decision-making process of the person. So what you say to the person is what the person is going to receive. And what the person receives is going to be the basis upon which he's going to think. I remember one time I was going for soul winning at the Snit Flat area. And I met this two people, male and female. And that odd hour of the day and how they came out from the flat, I just picked that they've gone to do something that is unholy. So I passed by them and then I went back. And I said, how are you people? Do you go to school? They said, yes. Then they said, who are you? I said, oh, I'm in the area. I came to preach about Christ. Please pay attention. Okay. And then they said, but you are going your way with you. Are going. I said, no. For God's sake, I'm older than you, so take your time and listen to me. They said, oh, we are sorry. So you people, where are you from? So, oh, me, I don't stay here. I stay in Medina. I didn't ask where you were staying. You people, where are you from? Where are you coming from? Is that your boyfriend? He said, yes. He said, so you came from Medina to sleep with your boyfriend and go back to Medina? He said, yes. Then the lady started tearing. And the guy was just stuck looking at me. And I said, do you know why I stopped you? He said, no. I said, I came to speak to you about Jesus. And he said, oh, we go to church. I said, I'm not talking about you going to church. Because I know the average Ghanaian has gone to church before. Even the fetish priest goes to church on Christmas Day, New Year, and doesn't go back again. So, relax. Then I started talking to them that the lady said, so if you were coming and you had an accident, and you died, will you be at peace with God? She was looking at me. She was tearing. I said, why are you crying? I've not even started talking and you are crying. Let's talk. Stop crying. We have to talk serious. Then she said, oh, she doesn't think that she will have an accident. I said, why, you think you are special? Even Miles Monroe died in a helicopter crash. So assuming you had died, what would have happened? You think God will accept you in heaven? Then the guy was, the face started changing. Then I said, why? Why are you reacting? He said, you are speaking to me more than her. He said, I have been a very stubborn child of my father. My father is a pastor. And I said, but you are not a stubborn child to God. You just have to change your mind and change your ways. There is no bad man. A man becomes bad when he becomes disobedient to God. Immediately you become obedient to God, you are a good man. So you can become a good man now. And then we held our hands, we prayed, and I asked them to recommit themselves to the Lord. We have to understand that you don't just need to go and quote a scripture. And you go, no, John chapter 3, verse 16. It doesn't work. Because God can use anything you say relevant, inspired by the Spirit, to reach out. Look at the approach of Jesus to the prostitute. Look at the approach of Jesus to the woman at the well. He didn't start quoting scripture. He just started talking to the woman. Can you give me water? That the whole thing didn't start like a sermon. Don't go and stand there. When you meet the person, then you stand as an apostle, you change your voice. I came in the name of the Lord. And today I brought you a message from God. Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't work, because there are already people who shut down when they meet you in a very holier than thou posture. That they think you've come to condemn them. But Jesus never condemned any sinner. He condemned the sin they did, that if they don't stop sinning, the sin will lead them into condemnation. He came to save the sinner, because he created the sinner. He created the human being. And the human being has become a sinner because of sin. And that sin he has paid his price for. So let the sinner repent and turn to me, so that the penalty of sin will not affect him. That is the message of the gospel. Because most of you are here, you are still doing the things that sinners are doing outside the church. But deep down in you, you know you are a child of God. That is why the gates, there are two. I told you, the justification. And that is what we must start with. You cannot come to Christ. You need to tell them that they cannot be perfect before they come. Because you yourself, you are still not perfect. And I don't know who can be perfect. There is no human being that can be perfect. Not a pope, not an archbishop, not a prophet. No. But we come in for the word to begin to work on us, to pattern us to our destiny. There are a lot of people out there, they want to be perfect before they come to the Lord, which they cannot. Even you've asked God for forgiveness on that particular sin. But anytime you get opportunity about that thing, you do it again. You do it without blinking. The people, you know, a sinner thinks that God is looking for them to punish them. So they entering church, they won't enter church. They will not enter church. This is what you should go and tell them. I'm going to give you what to say in a very short while that I'll run through. So make sure you are writing very fast. The right and the relevant message is what they need. If you meet somebody who is broke, people think God is not interested in our financial well-being. The gospel addresses finances. If somebody is sick in the house, the gospel addresses health. So the gospel is not just come to Jesus, you will be saved, you go to heaven, we know. But how would the message be relevant to who you are going to pray? 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. So there is a message you must hear. there is a message they heard from the beginning that brought them together. And this is what you should know, what you should say. Because some of us go for evangelism and when you go for evangelism, you are not going to argue. When you meet anybody who wants to argue, you plead with them that, oh, today you didn't come for argument or debate. You just came to share the gospel. That is evangelism. The sharing of the gospel. It's not a debate. I came to share the gospel. Maybe if you want a debate, it's good. But maybe let's arrange for another time. But today I came to share. Don't go when you meet a Jehovah's Witness. Don't waste your energy arguing. You are not going to argue with anybody. Praise God. Praise God. And a time is coming. We must even run some classes and lessons. I've started studying very deep into this same-sex marriage things. I've started studying into it very well. Because a time is coming in churches. We must have answers for those who are struggling. There are some of you here, you are struggling with it, but you are very quiet with it. Yeah. You believe you were born gay. Yeah. Nobody is born gay. And that is another time. Nobody. Nobody. And the scriptures are there to show you. Nobody is born gay. But you see, that is a debate. That is a discussion. That is somebody will sit with you and say, Pastor, I think I'm born gay. They call me Kojo Besia. And all these things started a long time ago. They will see a lady, they say you are, or they see a guy, they say you are Kojo Besia, Kojo Besia, Kojo Besia. The thing started a long time. Those are powerful seeds the enemy was sowing. So the person grows up thinking that he's a gay. No, God did not create any human being as a lesbian. No. That's another time. I think, would you like such a class? Hello, would you like such a class? Yeah. You have to. You have to know. Because some people believe it that I'm born gay, I talk like a girl, I behave like a girl as a man. So I'm gay. No. God didn't create anybody as a gay. As a sent one, you must say the right thing for God to save that soul. You cannot be careless. Even your children that are growing in the house, you must be careful what you say to them. You cannot be saying anything anyhow to them and expect them to be great. So when you meet the soul, you must know what to say. Relevant, on point. You have 5 minutes to save somebody from hell. To save someone from committing suicide. So it's like, I am wondering, does this comedian going through a lot of issues? I'm wondering, is there no Christian around him? Is there no pastor around him? Is there nobody around him to give him a relevant message? This is why we must be equipped with the message of the gospel, because you don't know who close to you, at what time, at what time. If you hear your cousin is going to commit suicide, please don't sleep. If you hear your cousin is going to commit suicide, what message of the Bible will you be able to give to the person? And this is what I'm going to share with you, maybe in 20 minutes, that you will know what to say. Even sometimes yourself, you must know the content of God's word. And I pray that it blesses you. Psalm 107, verse 20. Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. So the word of the Lord has the power to heal and to deliver. May the Lord give you the right words at the right time. Because what you say can heal. What you say can deliver people from destruction. Receive the anointing to speak the right words at the right time. A word in season is all that the soul needs. A word in season. A word at the right time. Something happens to the person. The person's eyes open. Say, really? And it doesn't just happen. It must be relevant. Isaiah 50 verse 4. Then I begin the various aspects. 50 verse 4. He said, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak. May the Lord teach you how to speak. Your amen is not strong. May the Lord teach you how to speak, to heal the brokenhearted, to heal the sinner. May the Lord teach us how to behave ourselves, to be able to draw many to the kingdom of God. He said, to know how. So we must know how to speak and how to talk. To who? You know, I overheard one man criticizing one of the presidential aspirants that the person doesn't know how to talk. The person is not, doesn't know how to talk. Yeah, you must know how to talk for people to listen to you. So if you met the sinner, how are you going to talk? How is your composure going to be? What will be your behavior? And remember, people will see you before they listen to you. People will see you before they listen to you. So how you have even dressed begins the whole sermon. How you are even looking like in front of the soul begins the whole sermon. Are you cheerful? Are you tired? Are you smelling? Are you well kept? Are you well dressed? What? Because the message should have worked on you before you are coming to me. So before people will listen to you, they will see you, they will watch you. Please, are you here? It's very important. Because you cannot just go and stand by somebody. Even we have to talk about your oral hygiene. The scent coming from your mouth must be good. Because the person may endure you just for you to feel it. You are talking or they are not even listening. They are like, in their head. And that can stop what God can do. It's not easy to be a messenger of the Lord. And I pray that the anointing of wisdom will come upon you in Jesus' name. Because the soul winner is wise. The soul winner is wise. It's a wise thing to do. When the Bible said that he that winneth a soul is wise, it's trying to say that, let me give you examples. Anybody who is trying to build his own house is wise. Anybody who has his own wife is wise. Anybody investing into his retirement is wise. Anybody winning a soul is wise, because the rewards of eternity will meet him when he translates from the earth to the heavens. May that wisdom be released upon you. Now, what should I say? Number one. So I'm going to give you scenarios, and then I'll give you the scriptures. This is a practical teaching. The first thing is that we live in a troubled world, but Jesus came to make us overcomers. So we live in a troubled world, but Jesus came to make us overcomers. It's a whole message. So that Saturday you are going out for evangelism, you can just take this part of what I'm saying. Spend time to study, meditate. I'm going to give you two scriptures to back it. And truly, we live in very troubled times. Look at what is happening in Russia, Ukraine. NATO is coming in, BRICS are waiting. China is attacking something. Israel against which people? Hamas, Gaza. Ha! All these things, it's like you just don't know what will happen next. Very, very troubling atmospheres. As for those who are now going to marry, it's like, whilst you are going to marry, you are hearing 52% of marriages have broken in the country. Yeah, 52%. So you are now even, like, you are not even only, like, you have now, they've proposed to you. They just proposed to you last week. So as you are walking, you are in cloud nine. But you are hearing that 52% of marriages are breaking. We are in very, very troubling times. There are things we never saw that we are seeing. The internet is littered with foolishness. very, very troubled, and people are troubled. So every time there is a message for us to say, it must be relevant. If you go, you see people under the tree sitting there. Sunday morning, they are not in church. This is a message you have to give to them. You have to acknowledge that we are in troubled times, but Jesus came to give us or make us overcomers. John chapter 16, verse 33. Give me soft versions now. Let me run fast. But try to type it for us, that we are in troubled times, but Jesus came to make us overcomers. He said, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. Another version says troubles. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. Hallelujah. Because Jesus has overcome the world, we shall also overcome the world. Just imagine a troubled man sitting somewhere and you greeted him. Sometimes when you greet them, they don't even respond. Look beyond their response. You are not the president of Ghana that they should stop all they are doing and say, oh, his excellence. No. You were a messenger. You are Jesus's ball boy. Tell somebody you are Jesus's ball boy. Yeah, you have been sent to give a message. So don't go and expecting all the honor, like you go and say, oh, yes, sir. No. Sometimes you greet them. Very young people, they are like, sometimes I don't even mind. Continue talking. Good morning. I'm Pastor Prince, or I'm Prince. And I came to share the gospel with you. Can you spare me a short period, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 5 minutes? We should be able to be done. And if you agree, please close your eyes and let's pray. Don't wait for yes and no. Immediately you say, you start praying. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for what you're about to do in our midst. I thank you for these wonderful people I have met. I pray that, Lord, the next time I meet them, your signature will be strong over their lives. Let your blessing rest upon all of us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to share with you a short message from the Bible. Do you all agree that we are in troubled times? Do you all agree that the nations are chaotic? So if you are here, maybe you're a footballer, and I say, I'm giving you a contract, $1 million a month in Ukraine. Will you go? Why? Because there's trouble there. But this same Jesus, you have heard his name severally. I'm sure some of you in front of me here have been to churches, you've been to crossovers, you've been to New Year, you've been to Easter programs. But this same Jesus you have heard about, do you know he came to make us overcome all these troubles now and the future? With your permission, let me show you something in the Bible. John chapter 16, verse 33. You are evangelizing that easy. Am I blessing you? Yeah, it's not difficult. It's just you must have a willing heart and a compassionate heart to reach out. Then you go to the John 16, 33. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. So whilst you are reading, that's why you must go with your Bible. Maybe you can go with your phone. If your phone will not fail you. Okay? Here on earth, you will have many trials. Jesus said it. All the troubles you are going through, he said it. Trouble you caused, trouble you didn't cause, trouble your parents brought on you, troubles your grandparents brought on you, troubles your country has brought on you, troubles your career has brought on you, troubles your best friend brought on you. You see that you are becoming relevant. They will now they'll be giving you the attention. Trouble that your boyfriend brought on you, Jesus talked about it. You are breaking the ice. But what did he say? He said, but take heart, because I have overcome it. Now let's go to the next scripture. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4. He said, for every child of God defeats this evil world. Listen to me. You are a child of God when you accept Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. So does it mean that if I don't accept Christ, I am not a child of God? Oh, you are a creation of God, but you have not yet become his child. It is Christ that makes a man a child of God. So he said, for every child of God defeats this evil world, and we achieve this victory through our faith. And this is where I'm going to address you directly. Your faith in Christ. I want to give you an opportunity. If you have not confessed Christ, you have not received him, I mean, you are not living with a standard in your mind and making him your Lord and making him your master, I want to give you this opportunity to give your life to him. Or if you gave him to him before, but you didn't take time to follow him, but after I finish talking, you think that you need him to cause you to overcome and give you victory, I still want to lead you to Christ. If you are ready, close your eyes. You see that they'll bow down their head and say after me. And you lead them. Beautiful. Between 5-7 minutes, you should be done with this. Give the Lord a mighty clap offering. Very, very beautiful. When you finish, you pray with them. After you lead them to Christ, you pray with them. Pray a general prayer for them. Or you ask them, do you have any special need? I want to lift it up to heaven for you. Then together you hold their hands. When you hold their hands, what are you saying? You are welcoming them to the brotherhood. They will feel welcomed. You pray for them. You pray for their family. You don't need anybody to tell you that every African home, there are powers, there is poverty, there is trouble. Just pray. Be led. And then when you finish, you tell them, after this, you have to be planted with a spiritual family, which is a church. And if you are in the area, we are from ICGC Caris Temple, and we just moved to the area. Our church is along the secondary school road, just after the sports stadium. And I want to invite you to church this Sunday to fellowship with us and meet our pastor. And your life will never be the same again. If you want to join us too, why not? We will all be happy to have you. So let me have your name and your number, and I will call. Then try to call the number they give you. Because most of the time, they give you a wrong number. So then call and make sure that he's showing you that your call has come true. After that, you thank them, and then you move to the next person. I think you should be clapping for me, but yeah. Number two message. So now I've given you the scenario. So I'm now going to run through the rest in about 10 minutes. Okay, so apply the same process. Within 5-7 minutes, you've witnessed. So what is the second message you can preach to them? Say, we are in a turbulent world, but he came to give us peace. Jesus came to give us peace. So if you are coming for soul winning a particular Saturday, you decide to engage this message. Let it be in you. It's not in front of the soul that you are taking your notes in front and say, we are in turbulent. No, you are not going to give a lecture. You are going to witness. So we are in turbulent times, and Jesus came to give us peace. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28-29. He said, then Jesus said, come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Verse 29, he said, take my yoke upon you. Let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your soul. Another version says, you will find peace for your soul. The next scripture under this message, John 14, 27. So don't say, Pastor, I didn't come because I didn't know what to say. I'm giving you what to say. He said, I am leaving you with a gift. Peace of mind and heart. Hallelujah. Yeah. And the peace I give is a gift the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. So in this peace thing, okay, let me give another scenario. So you met this soul. You are going to talk about the turbulence of the times and the peace that Jesus gives you. Then you start. You see, so you ask them, have you been betrayed before by a friend? Somebody you love dearly? They say, oh, yes, many times. If they don't even respond, continue talking. Has your family seen turbulent times? Is there, like, sometimes you realize business is not going well for your parents, something is not correct, family issues, when there's funeral, where is this, and where does that, you go to school, this and that, turbulent times. Did you invest when the financial crisis came? You see that they will start laughing. If they don't laugh, you should laugh. Because you are the one in charge. Whatever you do affects whoever you are talking to. So you go ahead. See, the turbulence of this world is never going to stop. And trusting a human being is risky. The only person that sticks closer than a brother is this Jesus we have been talking about. And this whole world, what do you need? The peace of mind. You ask them. You see, they'll be paying attention. So let's go to the scripture and see what the Bible says about Christ with our peace. Then you go to the scripture. You read it. And here you emphasize that Jesus gave us peace. And this peace, nothing on earth can give you that peace. Not even a beautiful wife. Not even a rich husband. No. A woman can be beautiful but very problematic. A man can give you a lot of money but very problematic. So nobody on earth can give you that peace except Jesus. You have a message. That is a good message. Number three message. We are in an embattled world against the powers of darkness. But Jesus is the light of the world. And he came to rescue us from the kingdom of darkness unto the kingdom of light. I read it again. We are in an embattled world against the powers of darkness. But Jesus is the light of the world. And he came to rescue us from the kingdom of darkness unto the kingdom of light. The scriptures, John chapter 8, verse 12. John chapter 8, verse number 12. Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. Remember, we said Jesus is the light. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. The last scripture under this message, Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. I know you don't like these teachings, but it will help you. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred who? Who rescued us? Jesus. So you see that your message is complete. You have enough scriptures to convince the soul on that day. And you don't need to just stick to what I'm teaching you. Just stick to it. Don't say any other thing. Just say what I'm saying. Read the scriptures to the person. You have done a powerful sermon. And God will use it to convey the person. The next message. Every child of God is a child of light. And as long as he keeps walking in the light, darkness has no power over him. Every child of God is a child of light. And as long as he keeps walking in this light, darkness has no power over him. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For once you were full of darkness. So you see, until the person becomes born again, he is not a child of light. For once you were full of darkness. For once you were not children of God. But now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light. So we are a people of light. Every child of God is a child of light. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 5. So as children of light, he said, well, live as people who have light. So that's where you can meet a Christian. So sometimes you can start the whole process differently. Are you all Christians? Do you go to church? Oh, yes, we are all Christians. If they are all Christians, such a message is relevant to them. That if you are children of light, then you should be living as children of light. He said, for you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to darkness and light. You cannot be both darkness and light. If you are a child of God, you are a child of light. The last scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. But thank God, he has made us his captives and continues to lead us along in Christ's triumphal procession. Now he uses us to spread the knowledge of Christ everywhere like a sweet perfume. That's why you're going to preach the gospel. He's going to use you to reach out to a lost soul. And this is what we must do for the Lord's sake. We must do it to show that we love the Lord. Amen. 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 Message number 5. We live in a world of uncertainties. Yes, we do. Of uncertainties. Today somebody is, tomorrow he is not. We live in a world of uncertainties. But Christ came to give us a living hope. The hope that makes not ashamed. I repeat, we live in a world of uncertainties, but Christ came to give us a living hope. The hope that makes not ashamed. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 to 4. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, now we live with great expectations. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 4. Yeah. There is hope only for the living. So if you are dead spiritually, you have no hope. There is hope only for the living. As they say, it's better to be a live dog than a dead lion. Romans 5:5. And this hope will not lead to disappointment. The hope, Christ in you is what? Oh, come on. Christ in you is, yeah. He said that, and this hope will not lead to disappointment. For we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with love. Amen. I have 3 more, but let me give you 1 more. And I hope you have prepared the children. I'll be praying for them before we go. The last message for today. It will be enough for you. Number 6. Christ is the answer to all the questions of life. He's the panacea to every problem. Christ is the answer to all the questions of life. It's a good message for you. John chapter 10, verse 10. John chapter 10, he said, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and to destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Jesus will give you a rich and a satisfying life. He is the answer for all the problems of the world. If you follow him at the end of the day, it may not be better, it may not be good today, it may not look good today, it may be difficult a little bit now, but as you follow him and his way and his principles, you are going to end up with a satisfying life. It is a good message. It's a good message to anybody draining in this time. People are draining, People are in despair. But if you send this good news to them, I'm telling you, you would have blessed them. The last scripture for the day, Acts chapter 5, verse 20. Go to the temple and give the people this message of life. Jesus is the life giver. He's the final of the finest. When you meet Jesus, you've met your final answer. When you stay with him, everything will fall in line to the purposes of God in your life. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a mighty clap offering. So I've given you a message as an evangelist. I've empowered you. From Saturday, we are doing it for 90 days. So I don't know how many Saturdays to God. That Lord, give me the passion. Give me the heart of obedience. Show me your mercy. Give me strength. Let nothing distract me. Let me be without an excuse. In my little strength, in my little growth in you, in the little I know about you now, now that you have taught me, Lord, let me be obedient to your word. Let me go and reach out. Be with me, encourage me, empower me. Go ahead of me. At least let me do this for you. In these 12 weeks, 12 Saturdays, let me go out for you and win a soul for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Give the Lord a mighty clap offering.
The message you just listened to is from ICGC Charis Temple. To connect with us, you can like our page on Facebook at ICGC Charis Temple or follow us on Instagram and Twitter at ICGC Charis. We would like to hear of how God is blessing you through this podcast. To support this podcast, please click on the profile button and click on support. Thank you, and God richly bless you.